just had in my heart this matter of the day that we're in and the need of outstanding. So I'm just going to read some scriptures relating to what the scripture has to say about standing. In Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into this favor in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So the picture is that without Christ, outside of Christ, we're on the mud. We're in the mire. There's no standing. We can't stand. We collapse. We fail. We fall back into sin. All the resolutions in the world don't work. All the willpower doesn't work. And we can't stand. Mephibosheth could not stand. He was lame in both feet. And that's our position. So that's the setting. And unable to stand. Now, that wasn't God's purpose. And man is unique in the way he stands. From all the animals, it's a distinguishing feature. Standing. Even creatorially. Why did God do that? Man upright. Man standing. Glory. There's a glory to that. God is working to imprint his image and his likeness on man. And we deal with a holy and upright God. And a God whose word stands, whatever falls. His counsel stand. There is what is firm there, everlasting. And he would imbue that on the creature. But as it happens, sin came in. And man lost his dignity. He lost his standing. He's fallen. Fallen. That's interesting. We speak about fall of man. He's not standing. He's fallen. And you bring up the Ten Commandments again. And if you're in any doubt, you know, there it is. Do not lie. Do not steal. You know, these things. Fallen. Smash the mirror of Scripture and then I'll be fine. No. You still got to deal with it. Throw away the Bible and you'll be... No, men still got to deal with it. Still, this fallen, wicked nature. But God has in mind that there's real standing. And that there's... He would give the power to stand. But in the one who stood the test. So you have Adam failing in all these tests. And the Spirit guided the Lord out to be tested. Very interesting. Temptation from the side of trial to prove, to show what was there. Satan coming there to lure him into sin. And the wonderful Lord Jesus, temptation could be brought from the outside, but there was nothing inside. There was nothing there to respond. And he stood right through the Gospels. So the religious man with all his outward works and everything is put in the shade practically by the light that was displayed in the life of Christ. A man standing. Manhood according to God. This is what God had in mind in manhood. If Satan's going to challenge God in a man, he'll reply in a man. He doesn't overpower the situation. He replies right in the spot, the seed of the woman, that's going to overthrow. That's what he has in mind. Practically, now Christ is in heaven, that practically that everything that stands and opposes every high thought, everything falls before his thoughts, before his people that are standing in the good of the finished work of Christ. Huge price was paid that we could stand. Love, God gave all that he could give in giving his son. He gave everything he could give. Should affect your heart. Are you unmoved? Do you realize what God has paid to accomplish that? Yes, it's free and available for you. Huge price. Huge and awesome price paid by God. We'll never know it. But he's moving to stir you up. to stand. Stir me up to stand. And I think we've come to it here. Therefore, being justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My daughter-in-law, going through, it was a Christian school, and they were preaching about, or the teacher was explaining about justification, and suddenly she understood it. I'm justified before God. And she said, I just ran down the hall. It's that exciting. When you see what God has done in Christ, that is wonderful. Justified before Him through the work of Christ. What a balm for the soul. It is an achievement-based thing. If God made it some achievement, we had to go to Spain, we had to go on our knees for 40 miles in order to get it. No, what about the people who are in beds? That would be an insurmountable obstacle. If you made the terms of the gospel in some other way, then there would be folks who wouldn't be available too. The broad scope of the gospel means that anybody can stand. A Mephibosheth can stand. Right, Morley? That's right. He can. He can stand. And it says here, through our Lord Jesus, by whom we have access by faith into the favor in which we stand. You can't put it better than that. Paul is extreme. He says things in such succinct and profound. You can't improve on the way he puts it here. He says, by whom we have present possession, great, access by faith. Okay, there's the response side we were talking about in the reading, you know. These things are laid hold of in faith. Okay, that's a hard thing. So what we did is we made this little tabernacle model. Okay, and the tabernacle's great because you have physical things that show spiritual principles, right? So you have, okay, there's only one door into this place, and that's like the only by Christ, right? We still are on earth, the sand still in the bottom, you know, all these little pictures. What is spiritual? So maybe it's hard to embrace some of the thoughts that Scripture puts before you, but we need to embrace them in faith. And all the older people too. Maybe as you look around in Christianity, the world today, you don't see what you see in the Scriptures. Okay? But you embrace it in your affection. You say, look, all I see is this one man pastor laity model all the way out there. I don't see plurality of leadership. I don't see structure. You know, if you just wipe the board, forgot about everything that you see out in Christianity, what would you then see, you know? So these things are embraced in faith. The words of Scripture are embraced in faith. So whether you see it or not, you embrace what God says, and then He makes it formative in your soul. So He's putting before you, but you have to take it. It's presented, great meal, no good to you unless you partake. And this wonderful, wonderful inheritance. Now, the world is hyping. I'm totally aware of it, and I get swept away sometimes too. They have all their stuff they're trying to sell you. And they have their bill of goods. But it can't touch what God has to offer. And as you start to enjoy it, it becomes more tasty. As you start to partake, and it gives strength, but then you come into opposition. And then it forces you back to the Bible. It forces you more in, and you're strengthened again. So opposition works just as much as blessing for the believer. Wonderful thing. So He has, in whom we have access by faith, into the favor in which we stand. I was at a burial of a brother who was very much impressed about the favor of God and just being in the favor of God. Do you know that? Is that something you're conscious of? The Lord would give you that, to be in His favor. wow, not just that's huge, accepted, but in his favor. Wow. Well, how do you relate the suffering of the saints to the favor of God? One of the old worthies, it's a good one, you'd rather suffer than sin. Okay? So to be maintained in a life in God's favor, you're saying, okay, I'm going to accept arrows. I'm going to stand, but I'm going to, rather than sin, I'm prepared to suffer. The Lord was for you. One of these old hymns says, willing to suffer, others to save. Good thought, because that's what the Lord did for us. Are you willing to suffer that others are saved? In your standing in God, and brought into this favor, with a sense of this favor, it can affect others. And this is the wonderful thing about standing. And here we stand, this favor of God in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Men are looking down the road and they're saying, it looks hopeless. And financially, whatever way, wars, whatever. But God sets up. Unchanged. Men hope. The hope of the Christian is different. It is fixed. It is settled. And it is firm. So now it's just between the time now and when the Lord comes. Okay? So it's firm. It's established. And we're already getting some of the benefits of it already in eternal life. So he sets before you a future. Wow. Nobody in the world can do that. No boss can do that. No business ambition. No, can't set before you a future. They can be taken away in a moment's notice like that. Your life can change tomorrow. Mind it. Had a heart attack. Bang. Death. This close. Right? Your life changes in a moment. Now. Be assured of your standing now. So this first one is what do we stand in? This second one is a false standing. 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, so him that thinks that he stand, take heed lest he fall. Whoa. We need the challenge of Scripture. We need this verse too. Oh yeah. How many times we thought we're standing totally on what was scriptural now, and then the whole thing crumbles. Because it wasn't. You weren't standing on what was right. You're standing on pretension or false interpretation of Scripture or whatever. It was false. They collapsed. And the collapse can be huge. And very often necessary in God's ways. You fall right on your face. There he goes again. But yeah, and Peter did, right? Peter, he thought he'd stand. Everybody else doesn't make. Yeah, I'll make it, no problem. Yeah, and we all have that spirit, you know. Yeah. Gee, if that guy was just a little bit more faithful, I would have been more faithful in that situation. No, wrong. We are all prone to pride, prone to self-confidence. And it comes in so easy. Very often in Scripture, it's after a victory. After the Lord really helps. And everybody's all excited. And we don't need to bother to ask God on this battle because we won that one over there. Whole Israel falls in. And sadly, it's happened amongst God's people time and time again, right? We thought we stood. We thought it was all biblical, scriptural, for sure. No, it wasn't. And we weren't prepared to listen to people who were telling us, you're going off the rails. We need one another to remain standing, right? We need to have enough goodwill that a brother can come up to us and say, look, this area of your life, I think you're going way off the rails, and this is why. And to be unafraid to name sin for what it is. Let's just call it sin. Let's just not beat around the bush. Name it. And we can be of help to one another in standing. In this area, there is a massive battle with the Romans and the wild barbarian British, right? 100,000, over 100,000 wild Huge men, too. The Italians were small guys. Huge. And they come 100,000 on 20,000. But the Romans go back to their positions. Spears out. Shields up. Shields over. And they pound them. And they could not crush them. And again. And they just, there was just bodies everywhere. And again, and then some, it was no lack of bravery. They threw themselves on the spears in order to make a way in through the back for the guy behind them. They retreated back, put the spears up, retreated back, spears up, and they were defeated, soundly defeated. They kept their position. They stood for each other, side by side. This is standing. You know, so if your brother's falling or weakening, practically, right? You want to be ministering to him to strengthen him because you need him there protecting your flank, right? Peter needs John. John needs Peter. They need, you know, they all need each other. And there is, what is God's formation? Forget man's plans of how the body of Christ should look like. Go back to the scripture. It was something that impressed my parents. They said, is anybody trying to do Paul's teaching? That's a good one. That's a good one. Anybody trying to do Paul's teaching in relation to the church? That's a good pattern. That's a good pattern. Are we maintaining? Are we in formation? Are we standing side by side? We sang about this great captain of soldiers. I love that one. Because there is a military aspect to Christianity. And I would impress that on each one today. We are being called today to stand and to enter the conflict. There was those that sat by the beaches, remember, in Deborah's day, and they just fiddled around with their cell phones and their, what? No, they fiddled around just at the seaside and took life easy. And we live in an affluent age, and there's plenty of stuff and plenty of rationales why we shouldn't get involved, right? I'm busy. I got my schoolwork. Well, let's just back that one up. There is a young man. He's going to university, full course look. But he was determined his study of Scripture would not suffer. He committed. And he became an incredible Bible expositor. Because he, just all through his growing up years, going through university and that, he was determined his study of Scripture would not suffer. Part of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. You are no match for Satan. You are no match for these professors and their logic and their world. You're no match, but the Word of God is. Absolutely. And it undercuts every single time. Oh, but he doesn't believe the Bible. It's like somebody saying, throw away your sword and come fight. No. One of these old worthies said, just give them another jab with it. They don't believe the Bible, but it sure hurts, you know? You know, and it brings in conviction. And it has a power beyond. No, you have. What God has equipped. And so to stand, but the warning here is, take heed. If you think you stand, you're going to fall. You'll fall. And, so what we're saying about the Spirit is really, really vital. Mm. Is it going to be the strength of the flesh or the strength of the Spirit? This combat, it has to be the Spirit's strength. And don't fall into formulas. Oh, this worked really well last time, I'll just use it again this time. No, in evangelism and work and service, whatever. No, you need the Lord's present mind now. I need it right now. And he give it there. See, this is a wonderful thing. The resource is there, but it's been untapped. It's been unused. I speak for myself. You know, it's just so many times that He's there waiting. He provides the strength. And what do we stand on? It's the finished work of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that is solid ground. And that's another thing in combat, right? You need to have solid ground. And a trick in many battles was to get them all in a marsh or something and everybody all bogged down and they can't fight. Well, that's what sin. That's what Satan does. He gets us all in this world and all bogged down and we don't have the maneuverability. Sin limits your ability to fight or be effective. And if he gets us bogged down, and maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's just earthly things. Maybe it's just things that fill up our lives. You lose mobility. Remember those ones that were in the battle and they just scooped from the water? You know, they were after the other ones sat down, or I forget how exactly went there. But, you know, they were committed to going on. And it doesn't take many. That's the other thing. A few committed persons, side by side, for the Lord. So you have a Jonathan and his armor bearer. That's pretty few. Two guys. Wow. How you guys hope to get a victory. Two. That's wonderful. It's good to bring our brother into our exercise. Yeah, I'm Rudy. I said, well, I am too. Well, let's do this. I think there's something in. He sent them off two by two. Anyways, just something to think about. So, the next one in 1 Corinthians 16, at the end, this gives it a real military sort of taste. Be vigilant, it says. Stand fast in the faith. Quit yourself like men. Be strong. Let all the things you do be done in love. Wow. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Do you hear his call? This is our captain calling, really. It's the voice of Christ. He's calling you. Oh, it says be vigilant. Be vigilant. First of all, ourselves. Wow. How quickly we can be sidetracked. And affection for Christ or attachment for Christ is so vital. So he knew that was the prime thing. So he pulls Peter aside after that fishing boat where they got nothing and then they got the food under his instruction. He pulls him aside. Are you attached to me? Are you attached to me? Let's get that settled. That's what's going to carry the day in our souls is attachment to Christ. And he would draw us in more and more in attachment to him. And then things are done not out of duty and I have to do this. They're done out of love for Christ. Absolutely. I want to be faithful to my captain. He's leading in the battle. My job is to be here following his lead by the Spirit. But so that issue needs to be settled. Are we attached to Christ? Does he have that hold? Anything really that's taking the place of Christ, let's deal with it. Different in your life than mine, you know. I just love news, and I'd be on the net all day just looking at news. And sometimes, yeah. But you know, pull back isn't going to be helpful, isn't going to be profitable. Deal with it, you know. Every once in a while, I think we all need a cleanup in our lives. Things have come in, you know, and just clear it. You know, he cleared things before he went up to Bethel, Jacob did, you know. And just good house cleaning. Okay, stuff comes in. And, you know, maybe stuff not evil or whatever, but it's hindering your mobility, your availability, and your service that you can be for God. So be vigilant, first of all, for ourselves, but then for one another, I think. Be vigilant. I mean, look, what is the danger here? Oh, real sad danger is the breakup in marriages. Again and again, it's coming to the Christian circle. Okay, it's one thing to be upset about it. But what can we do on the positive side? Do the young couples have our support? Are we committed to see their blessing and that they prosper in the spiritually? And as we as older couples, are we giving a good example for the younger couples that this is the way, this is what it looks like, this is the pattern? The world is assailing, and we're to be vigilant for one another too. And so Paul can see Peter's going off the rails. You know, he says, no, not back to law. No, we're not going to go there. Or the Galatians. And he says, oh, yeah, we're saved by grace, but we're going to live by law. No, life is lived on one's principle. This is so important. We don't have a sacred secular split. We don't have two lives. We live our lives on one principle, right across the board. Right across the board. And it isn't religiously, you know, it's those that, you know, are pastors and missionaries, they're on the higher class than a carpenter, an accountant, or whatever. No, it doesn't work that way. Whatever you're called, that calling can be here for God. Mm. Whatever our calling is. Mm. And do not limit what the Spirit can do in that calling. One of the most effective persons for the spreading of the gospel in Vancouver locality years ago was this one sister who just talked to people over the fence and just brought a casserole to somebody who needed it and just, you know, just expressed. She was, yeah, man, this was like fruit. And, you know, it was tremendous. A little maid did it with a Syrian general. It starts at a young age, man, so effective, but has this sense of her God and her captain, and her captain is sufficient. Yeah. You can bring what the world cannot offer to me, what really satisfies the soul, what really transforms the life, and in power. But we need to stand. So it says, be vigilant. Stand fast in the faith. So it's like a body of truth that we call the faith. And we need to know it. We need to have an outline of somewhere. You need to know the body of... Doctrine is important. Doctrine is... You know, what did they do first? They remained in the apostles' doctrine, I think it is, in Acts 2. Yeah. That's doctrine is important. Yes, and fellowship. So... people say doctrine divides. Well, rightly, doctrine unites. You know, it really, this is what we believe. This is life-giving. And we do not have the authority to change the terms of the faith either. And to make it more palatable and to adjust it, because we diminish the glory of God. And we introduce what is of man. Lethal. Mm-hmm. So, he says, stand fast in the faith. That means you have to know it. Mm-hmm. That means you need to spend time. Mm. There's no shortcuts. There's no way around this. You have to spend time. And I say this for myself, but we have to spend time in his word. Mm-hmm. Established. Mm-hmm. What does it give you? Well, when it comes to combat, then you know. Yeah. And it's amazing, you know. It's amazing. The scriptures that will come to your mind as under the Spirit just hit the mark. You had no idea that it hits the mark, but it hits the mark. And you go, wow, I'm sure glad the Lord reminded me of that scripture. How do you remind it if you don't know it? You know, then you don't have it. Mm. And you are ill-equipped. So, Apollos was mighty in the Lord. That's great. Mm. That's something. So, different ones in Scripture are put out there. And bringing it to bear. Bringing it close. Allowing the Word first in ourselves. It's penetrating. But just allow, don't try to deflect the Word of God. When it speaks about whatever subject... Don't try to deflect it. Allow it to penetrate. Allow it to challenge. We need the challenge of the Word of God. We need to be challenged. We need to accept. You know, you go to write a verse for somebody in a card, you know, and there's a really testy part. And then, well, I'll just quote the nice bits, you know. That's the temp. But you always seem to find the salt is there, you know. It's just part and parcel. It's like that in the Word. So... We need the challenge of the word. And it says, be stand fast in the faith. Then it says, quit yourself like men, like conduct yourself as men, as those under the authority of God. You know, it's Satan again, we're talking about that. The Philistines in the valley look so intimidating. No, stand up. One guy said, you really believe that? How can you believe in a God who would send people to hell? I just went full blast back and said, I absolutely believe hell is a necessity of God's love. And the guy said, hey, you know, like, it really, don't wish Ross, don't try to get out that the Bible doesn't speak about hell or just go around. He speaks more about hell than heaven in the scripture. Whoa. You know, don't try to step back. Men try to get you to buckle, to collapse, to compromise, to go back on the faith. And he's saying here, Paul's exhorting the Corinthians, who had collapsed, while he has confidence in the work of God. That even and let's deal with that. I've had failure in my life. Well, God says, I'm able for that too. I have collapsed in the past. Yeah. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe when you go forward now, you go forward more dependent on God. Yeah. Maybe there's been failure. Okay. Our God is sufficient. The Spirit is sufficient. The power is there. And He is sufficient for what we have to face. The all-sufficient, I think it's one of McIntosh's, the all-sufficiency of Christ. That's a wonderful article. He's sufficient for everything. All-sufficiency of Christ. To be like an anchor. In principle, there's nothing new that comes up. They repackage these things. You know, they come at you, and we believe this, this, and this. And it's just a modified version of paganism that was way back there. Or that we believe in this, and this, and this, and it's just rationalism, it's just humanism, it's just it's what Paul met at Athens. The Stoics, you know, it's in principle, it's basically, that's what they, all that material is all that's real. That's an old thing. Oh, please, is that all you got, you know? So all these things are old, but if we know, if we've studied the scripture, also one of the kings I thought was really interesting, one of the kings of Israel wins a battle because he knows his history. I wish I could just pull it out. But these guys come and say, oh, we own this land and we're fighting, we're going to take, wait a sec. God gave us this land, God, you stepped over the line here, you only own, you know, you only get up to this point. And he rallies the people because he knows his history. Wow, that's helpful. That's helpful. Church history is helpful. Oh, yeah. Oh, and then it puts the present day and its glory into the shade when you see how God's people really stood and are standing today. And are standing today. So having a sense of the history, Christian history, very valuable. Very valuable. And also, in combat, very useful. This isn't a new battle. You see how it's been met in the past, under what principles, and what truth is at stake. And then it gives you position again. And then with the saints, too, in a general way, we can look up. And really, Satan doesn't have much new. He's always working at the personal side too, our eccentricities, and you know, one poor brother, he always blinked the whole time or scratched the side of his head, and it was really hard to focus, but he had some really good stuff, you know. So forget whatever the oddities, because you might miss really what God has to say to you, you know. And wow, it gets us all focused. And what is there? One guy came. He came down from Calgary. He was he moved down from Calgary because he thought there was a holier meeting in Vancouver than it was in Calgary. And I'm going, gee, this is not going to work. So I said to him, well, what's the problem in Calvary? And he went over a list of the complaints of all the brethren. On and on and on. I said, okay, fine. Now tell me about the work of God in each of the saints. You know, he couldn't say a word. Oh, one brother, he mentioned something. I said, this is bizarre. Do you know this person is standing at the work and they paid this sort of a price? Do you know what this person did? Do you know the history? Nothing. Nothing. Incredibly one-sided view of the saints. Mm-hmm. Just ask. This is where the older ones and younger ones together is such a blessing. Mm-hmm. We thought we were so deprived. We were just all kids at a meeting. And in Calgary, it was all kids over there. And if we just had lots of kids, we'd be fine. And we were meeting with all older brothers. Oh, tremendous blessing. The language, everything was at a higher level. And they encouraged questions. And questions, that's absolutely great. And that became formative for a young person. You know, that really made a difference. Anyways, this guy comes down. He's kind of come to this holier meeting. And I'm going, well, this is really bizarre. So send him back packing up to Calgary. Day later, he appears on the doorstep. Oh, my car broke at Hope, which is sort of part of it. And I had more troubles in Kamloops. So it's therefore, it's the Lord's will I come back to Vancouver. I said, well, maybe you just have a bad car. Ooh, he didn't like that one. No, he was, everything was a sign. And we're like that sometimes. If we got our mind set in some, every circumstance, oh, that fits totally. Absolutely. And the Word of God and what we should be really assessing things by goes out the window. Again, because we're not standing firm in the faith. We aren't deriving our direction and strength from Christ. And we cease. And some folks, it says they're double-minded. So they aren't standing at all. Every new wind of doctrine. And every new... And there's plenty. There's plenty. There's a fad a day in Christianity. You know, it's just like, wow. Not to say that all new thought is wrong. There's some things that we should address. But just be really aware that very often it's just a repackaging of something else that was tried before and... flat on its face. And so it says, stand, be vigilant, stand fast in the faith, quit yourself like men, be strong. Well, we can't be strong in our own might. But did you know, as relying on the Spirit, I don't care if it's a little child in a situation, relying on Christ is stronger than power or teachers, situations, just standing. We can all be strong. And we need to. Be strong as a wife or a husband. Be strong as an employee or wherever we find ourselves. But be strong for our Christ in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. Then... I'll just finish up in Ephesians, because that is also sort of that, it just keeps saying standing, standing, standing all the way through. It's speaking about the armor. Verse 10 says, start at verse 10. For the rest, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Wow, that's it. His strength. Strong in the might of his strength, put on the panoply of God, that ye might be able to stand against the artifice of the devil, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against the universal lords of this darkness, against spiritual power of wickedness in the heavenlies. For this reason, take to you the panoply of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having accomplished all things, to stand. Stand therefore, having girt about your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the glad tidings of peace. Besides all these things, having taken the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the inflamed darts of the wicked one, have also the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, praying at all seasons with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, in order that there may be given to me, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the glad tidings, for which I am an ambassador bound with a chain, that I may be bold in it as I ought to speak. Wonderful. So you get the whole military image there, the whole soldier image there, and how it all fits together. I won't go into all these different things. It's very proper, but I will mention one. There's the darts of the fiery one that come, right? And the idea there is to lift up the shield of faith. So Satan whizzes one at Eve, basically saying, God does not have your best in mind. And instead of raising, she succumbs to that dart. The disciples are in the boat. Lord, don't you care about us? See, the darts are coming through. Right? We need to raise their knowledge. Lord had their best in mind. The Lord was here to protect us. The shield should go up. Job's wife, curse God and die. Shield came up. No, he trusted in God. The shield came up. It was not able to pierce. So, that's just one thing that I think is really important, the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. There is incredible darts that if you let them come in and work away in your soul, satanic suggestion. Indeed. And it's allowed to stir and, huge, huge problem. Need to lift that shield of faith. Confidence in God, confidence in His Word, no matter what the situation is looking like, confidence in His Word, trust in Him, and even, I know it's broken, but we have to have trust and confidence in one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dear brethren have our best in mind, and that forms part of our defense. You know, we're in this together. So, it's the fiery darts of Satan. But again, it's this military image. It's this soldier image. And we're to step up to the plate. We're just enter into the combat. It is combat. It is combat. And if you want freedom of action, you're going to have to carve out some territory. And that's what they had to do when they entered in the land. They had to carve out some territory. Well, good area. First is our hearts that's carved out. And our household. Everything in our household is there. Our household is used. Our work environment, let's carve out some territory there. It's under the authority. We're saying, too, some men decided, I own a business, so I'm going to put that under the authority of Christ. The government can never give workers jobs, but I can, as a believer, give young folks jobs and giving work. Anyways, they went into inner city Chicago, and over a period of 3-4 years, 300 kids from hardcore unemployed. They hadn't seen their father work. They hadn't seen their grandfather work. They had them working. They had them with jobs. They had them, and most of them also, by being under this, came to know the Lord as they saw this was working in a work environment. Christian, intensely practical. So it worked. And then the news media, wow! And every time they would give glory to God when they got behind the mic. So our businesses can be used for God's glory. Our households can be used for God's glory. Our time, our there's so many things, but we need to enter into the conflict. The glory of Christ, not for our own glory, but our great captain. That's why that hymn is so great. Great captain of salvation. And he's looking for an Ittai type of response from each one of us. Absolutely. Where you go, I will go. Years back, in the time of Lollards, they were called. Anyways, yes. One of these preachers went through, and he said, are you willing to follow Jesus? If there's difficulties, are you willing to follow Jesus if it leads through that door called death? And this girl heard the preaching one time from one person and somehow got a Gospel of John. And she followed, having no other confirmation from other Christians, she followed right through until she was martyred in London, just hearing it once, stepping up, following faithfully her captain. So, yes, not likely, but we may be called to give our lives. We knew a sister in Germany who gave her life not too long ago for the Lord. Her husband wouldn't have it, and she was killed, and the two boys. So. Yeah, it's very real. The opposition, that was the other thing. Did you notice that? It's not only, it's a very formidable opposition. So we are not ignorant. This is, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against authorities, against universal lords of this darkness, against spiritual power of wickedness in the heavenlies. For this reason, this is the context. This is the seriousness of the present state. But I say this for myself. We need to stand. We need to take the stand. And you probably know what you need to stand for next. The Lord, the Spirit of God is probing you about a certain matter that you need to make a stand as to. And Satan is at that very point trying to get you not to stand. You're going to lose this, you're going to do. And true. I mean, when Paul stood, he was thrown into prison. But the Lord came to the prison. And there was something mightier than the Roman power. Or Peter is thrown in prison and all the prison doors open. So, yes, there probably is going to be consequences. But the response from God is greater than the consequences that would entail. Very fine thing. And Paul was totally... So, he's totally standing, but he's totally getting beaten up. So, those things actually go together. The conflict and the reproach and all that, it all goes together. But it is a wonderful thing. Girt about your loins with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. And he goes on praying in all seasons with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Good phrase. Good phrase. All the saints. Is that the scope of our affections? It should be. It's huge troubles amongst God people, but there are those who are standing. Let's strengthen them. Maybe somebody's given a huge fine for standing for what is right. Well, maybe just write them a letter of support, a check or something, you know. Or somebody's taken flack for this or whatever, and it's for what is right. Stand beside them. Stand beside them. So it says here, for all the saints. And then he prays that he... And then he puts himself in this incredibly dependent position as relying on them to have boldness to utter with his mouth the mystery of the glad tidings. The great Apostle Paul, he needs the presence? Absolutely. So now you see how we are one body. We are all interconnected. We all do need each other. If the great Apostle needs us, surely we all do. And in order that utterance may be given to me, boldness, I am its ambassador bound with a chain. Wow, Paul's ministry is still in reproach. Still mocked at. Oh, that's a cultural part of what Paul said. It has no effect today. And one of my son's bosses says, I believe parts of the Bible. Yeah, there's a problem, right? You know, it's not going to work. Not going to work. And we simply, and we have this too in our own hearts. We like parts of the Bible. Other parts, I don't like the part about fasting, you know. Whatever. You know, there's parts of the Bible that just really, really hit the mark, you know. And wow. But let's take it. Let's take it. And awesome. It says here, I'm its ambassador bound with a chain. His ministry is in reproach. Just accept it then. Just accept that Paul's ideas are in reproach and keep on going. It's part and parcel. Okay? Don't be ashamed of the chain that's attached to Paul's ministry. so I may be bold as I ought to speak. So if you can stand, then you can speak. Mm. That's nice. Ah, it's truly a wonderful thing to have a sense of our great captain calling us today into the conflict. He'd have us stand, he'd equip us, but there is our responsibility. Mm. There is your portion you have to do. And I have to do it. I have to. But may we all be helped to stand for our great captain. First name, sir.
Amen. Amen.